This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Courtyard Club Call, number 31. And we are going to be going over yesterday's game, which was our unconvincing 1-0 win over Wimbledon at home. I'm on with Dan and Jimmy. How are we doing, guys? Are we okay?
Not too bad.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Waggy.
Good. Yeah, so Jimmy, you was there at the game yesterday, wasn't you? You was in it live, and I'm guessing you watched it on the stream, Dan.
Yeah, and I managed to watch all of it this time, not fall asleep.
That's brilliant. Always a good thing. Always a good thing. So as ever, we will go through the lineup, have a chat about that, formation, what happened in the first half, second half, man of the match, ref watch, if we remember. So kicking off with the lineup, we had Ben Hinchliffe, Torre, Pai, Horsfall, Noel, Camps, Powell, Lemony Evans, Richards, Madden and Wotton. Any surprises with that starting 11? It was the same starting 11 as against Forest Green. So yeah, as we said, I think before the Forest Green game, we said, don't change your winning formula, even though we did make two changes for the Forest Green game. What was your impressions?
He's, Dan? Keeps on buggering me up on my fan hub. And I'm sure he's doing it on purpose, because you try and second guess him and thinking he's going to rotate, should we say, because games are close behind, and then he plays the same starting 11, like you say, against Forest Green. So, the fact that he played the same starting 11 was a bit of a shock, to be honest. Saying that, though, I think some players did look rather leggy.
Yeah, what did you make of it, Jimmy? Did you any surprises in there, or did you get 11 out of 11 on FanHub?
No, did I didn't. Same? I didn't. You didn't. In fact, I didn't even bother this
did
time.
Did you not? Because
I never get anywhere near 11 out of 11. And as you say, okay, it's impossible to second guess him. You're thinking, right, he's going to rest some legs here because we've got two games in 4 days, and yeah, and then he plays the same team, which is fair. At the end of the day, you've got a team of 11 players there who did a really good job on Forest Green. And look at them, They've just gone and beaten Crewe, haven't they, as well? So it's not like, we thought they were absolutely terrible, but they've done a job on Crewe, so fair play to them. I was surprised. I thought he would rotate. I thought Sars would come in. I thought Wotton would be dropped. I thought Tanto would start, but What do I know? Obviously not a lot.
Yeah, I think that was the only one. I think I'd got Tanto starting instead of Richards. I think that was the only change that I had that I could see, because in resting Tanto on Friday, you thought that he would have been starting yesterday. We will go on more into the depth, but I did think that Tanto looked a bit tired when he came on yesterday. Certainly, I know he only came on sort of last half an hour, I mean, we'll talk about it, but I thought he did look tired, whether he's carrying something or not. And they're just trying to get him through a couple of games. I'm not sure if that was the case or not, but pretty much same as Friday. Certainly, formation wise, Pop Mob is saying that we played a 4-3-1-2, but again, I think it was more of a 4-3-3. I'm in possession and out of possession. I think we still had Lemon Evans sort of dropping in as a right wing back, didn't we?
Yeah.
That seemed to be the way that we was playing. Is that the impression that both of you got?
Yeah, definitely. With Toure and Lemon Evans, say without the ball, very much like a back five at times. But obviously, when we did have the ball, very much pushed right up, as basically we're like wingers at points. It was quite clear that Toure was receiving the ball, cross diagonal passes, and he was obviously on the touchline, but he was more in the attacking third of the pitch and receiving them balls. So yeah, they did a lot of running up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Toure having Paddy in front of him. He wasn't in front of him. Yesterday. He put Richards, didn't he, on the left to begin with. Toure suffered a little bit because of it, but I think having Pai, I think one thing that I've not noticed, but I noticed yesterday, having Pai back in the centre of defence has definitely helped Toure with the passing angles into him. So he's receiving the ball with his sort of across his body so he can run onto it and go down the line. Mm-hmm. Whereas a right footer obviously sort of requires him to check back a little bit more. So that certainly helped him. But yeah, Rico, it's what you're going to get with a 19-year-old. He was an absolute world beater against Forest Green, and he really struggled first half, and obviously he got taken off, but yeah, it's what you expect.
Yeah, he struggled to get into the game, I think, Rico, didn't he? Because he did see that. We have mentioned it on here about those sort of front two swapping over, and they did seem to do that. As I say, Rico started on the left-hand side, definitely with Madden Moore out on the right, walking through the middle, and then I think they did swap after 20 minutes, 25 minutes. They were there just to frustrate us, really, wasn't we? And we seemed to play their game. You know, I mean, with Lewis and Johnson as their two centre backs, they're no nonsense defenders, aren't they? You're not going to get them running with the ball. You're not going to get them trying to spray balls out or anything like that. They're head it, clear it, get it away from the, get it anywhere from them, and let other people pick up the ball, wasn't it? I think that seemed to be their tactic. They were very, they were quite physical. They left the little niggles and stuff in. And I think basically, first half, they were just there to frustrate us. And I think their manager has come out and said that's exactly what they wanted to do. I listened to his interview earlier.
Lewis and Johnson, we know what their strengths are. We know what their weaknesses are when they're in a county shirt. You know, they want to head and kick everything that's lumped up to them. They don't like being closed down. They don't like being balls in behind them. And they don't like to be hurried. You know, we all know Johnson can hit a ball 30 yards. His problem was he can't pass it 3 yards. So for me, Wootton played into their hands, I thought, unfortunately. And I think, I think we really, really struggled. The referee didn't help at all, I thought. But I thought we played in, they were look, same again, as many teams do come to Wedgley Park, they looked like they wanted to draw out the game.
Yeah.
And like I say, I think they were quite happy to kick, hurry, barge, every challenge they left something in. The player I thought that Gordon that they had, which played for Carlisle last season on loan from Palace, I thought he was an absolute nuisance all game. And every time he closed down, he sort of like barged into the player that closed him down, left him on the floor. A right horrible, nasty little player that you'd love to have in your team, to be honest.
Wasn't he the one that pushed Horsfall? that gave them their long throw, which led to the penalty.
Yeah,
it was.
Went straight into his back, didn't he? Both hands, on his back, pushed
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And the referee gave a throw in to them. And so they got a penalty. Did we think it was a penalty? I'll start with Jimmy, because you was at the ground, seeing it sort of real time.
It was the softest penalty I've ever seen. It was unbelievable. I actually think Horsfall managed to nick the ball through the guy's legs.
Right,
through his legs almost. The ball came out. Guy just falls over. Was it Gordon or was it Boogle? Who won the penalty? I can't remember, because that
wasn't it?
Yeah, he kept on falling over and everything. So, yeah, no penalty for me. What did it look like on TV, Dan?
It didn't look the softest challenge out of the whole game. With everything else that went on during the pitch and all the wrestling and stuff like that, it looked like that Horsfall was behind him. He was close to him, but I thought Horsfall actually had his hands up. So I don't know if he's kicked the legs from underneath him, but I thought it was very, very soft in comparison to everything else that was going on the pitch. I mean, like you say, if that happened out of the penalty area, I don't think he would have given a penalty. So it was like you say, I thought it was really, really soft.
Yeah, there was a lot of pushing and pulling and shirt holding and stuff on the foot. Every set piece for them, for us. I think we started realizing that they were getting away with it, and I think we started getting a bit rougher, I would say, certainly towards the more we went on in that first half. And then they get the penalty. I thought that Horse had just caught his ankle with his his right foot against the back of Bugle's right ankle, so. Because I'm sat right behind it in upper tier three. So that was the thing I saw. When I've looked back on the highlights, I think that's what he's given rather than like a push or shove. Because I think Challoner is the way Challoner's came out with it, he's saying that he's given a penalty for pushing when everything else that's gone on, it was the softest penalty to give out. Fortunately, it was a bad penalty because he's missed. I thought it was quite funny that the Cheadland all started singing Ben Hinchliffe in the middle of our goal because they'd missed the penalty, even though Ben dived the wrong way and it hit the bottom of the post and went wide. So I thought that was quite ironic from our fans.
You've got to give some kudos to Paddy there. I don't know whether you'd have seen this on TV, Dan, but as he walked sort of back to the edge of the penalty area, he scuffed the penalty spot like really, really badly.
On the penalty spot, didn't he?
Yeah. He scuffed it so badly that the paint on the spot sort of left a trail, like a 2 foot trail.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I seen him drag.
Funny enough, last season when we were at Wimbledon, Hippolyte missed a penalty, and it's exactly what they did to us at Wimbledon.
Did their player get booked for it?
No, I don't think he did in the end. He got booked for being in, because same again, it was one of them things. Hippolyte picked up the ball and he stood there on the penalty, just before the penalty spot, and then they scuffed the penalty spot and then they're in Hippolyte's ears. And I've always said that the biggest lump that we have on the pitch grabs the ball and stands on the penalty spot and then hands the ball over to the penalty taker, stands there, smiles, grins, takes all the whatever he's being chucked at him, and then he goes, "Here you go, mate. Now time for you to take the penalty." And I think that's happened a few times since then. But they were just a team of shithouses. I mean, that O'Toole, Lewis, Johnson, Jimmy Ball. The surprise was that Tilly's their leading goal scorer now, but he hasn't scored in, I think they said, 5 months. And he was only playing because the leading goal scorer got a red card in the game before on Friday, and that's the only reason why he's playing. Normally he's on the bench and doesn't hardly get used. So to allow him to take a penalty when they said, you know, he's been so out of form, especially when you got people like Ball on there that we know can take a penalty as well. Yeah. That was a bit of a surprise.
You'd expect that the two strikers would be up there for taking the penalties as well.
Yeah.
Realistically. I mean, that was their only chance in the first half. They're only shot completely. Stats wise, 74% to 26% possession for us. Our XG was only 0.15 for them. Obviously, it was 0.79 because it was a penalty that they got given. We had three shots, only one shot on target, and they just had that one shot, which was the penalty. And then passing, we had 288 total passes, of which 236 or 82% were accurate. They only had 101 passes, and they had 42 accurate passes, which is only 42%. So I think that sort of goes in line with what we've said, is that they were just lumping the ball, weren't they, trying to get in behind us and really, really frustrate us. So I think it was a poor first half all around, wasn't it? We didn't raise our game. We seemed to be laboured. I think we didn't move the ball fast enough, I think. And I think a lot of the time that we tried that cross ball out to Torre, there was nobody there supporting him. And he still seemed to be controlling it. But the way the ball came to him, he was controlling it, but he was controlling it, turning back to goal, wasn't he? Back to our half. And I think that sort of killed momentum quite a few times. Did you guys notice that? Did you guys see that?
I think we found it difficult because we didn't have that pace up front. So they knew that they could play quite compact and not worry about like Tanta or someone with pace getting in behind them. We didn't have any runners past the like Wootton. I noticed that when Sars came on, he did try and get in front of Wootton a few times, which definitely helped in the second half. We'll talk about that. But they were just a throw-in team. I mean, literally, they were just hoofing it forward, trying to get a throw-in, and then that bloke was just launching them in, wasn't he, with his...
Yeah, that number five,
Bolmer, which was brilliant.
It was a hell of a throw, wasn't it? That's one of the longest throws that I've seen for a long time, that, because it was almost a few times where he was almost at the halfway line and he was getting it almost into the six-yard box, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. So,
but I don't think... We defended those brilliantly. Let's cast our minds back a couple of months. We were conceding some stupid goals to long throws when they were bouncing in the penalty area and all sorts. But I mean, looking at this in the first half, they had 21 throw-ins. And I reckon at least half of them were in our half, which would have meant that they'd have ended up in our penalty box at some point because of the length of throw. So fair play to the defence sort of handling those.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else from the first half?
I thought, same thing we mentioned before, I thought Camps looked absolutely knackered in that first half. Same with Wootton. Sort of after 30 minutes, I could see that what the game plan with Wootton was not going to work, and you needed Tanto to sort of like play beyond them. And same thing, Camps just looked not like the Camps of March. He looked leggy, he just looked tired, like a player that's just played two games in three, 4 days. And he just didn't, that level that he has been in the last sort of three, four, five matches, he just looked well off that for me. And I think, like I say, that affected breaking them down and sort of having that possession and the runners and stuff like that. Same thing, I thought, that first half, I thought Powell was basically running the show for us.
Yeah, he was dropping very deep again, wasn't he? It was a lot of the times when he was picking the ball up, like next to Horsfall, wasn't he? Quite a few times he seemed to do that. So, half time, we made the change. We took Richards off and brought Sars on. And pretty much we were still. Most of the momentum was on our side. Do you think that changed the dynamic, bringing Sars on with Richard going off?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think Sars managed to get forward a little bit more, but there's something not quite right with him. He's not the same player that he was before he got his current injury. I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know whether it's having Powell in the same side, whether they would naturally... I don't know whether they work that well together, although Powell does drop back quite a lot. And you're sort of looking for Sars to make those runs past Wootton. But yeah, something not quite right there.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Like you say, I mean, he's not. He's rather got a niggle, got an injury, or but yeah, it's not the Sarcevic that we know that he can be, where he can, like say, dominate games and, you know, dictate games. And sometimes I think that game might have been actually right up his street, a bit of rough and tumble as such, because he's strong on the ball. But he just, like I say, he just didn't seem to sort of influence the game. And I'm not saying, you know, he did all right. He didn't, I don't think he gave the ball away. And he was tidy with his passes and stuff like that. But it just, you know, we all know that Sarsi's got probably two more levels more than what he showed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that reflects he only got a 6.3 on FotMob for his rating. Then we, 59 minutes, we then make two further changes. We took Powell off, brought Odin Bailey on, and took Wharton off and Olafi on 59 minutes. That, I think that made the difference, as you've mentioned, with the pace up front. They started to seem, Johnson and Lewis started to seem a lot more flustered, didn't they, because Olafi had the pace.
I think they certainly dropped back five or 10 yards, which gave us a bit more control of the game in areas that we wanted to play in. Although, as you said, Waggy, Tanto was looking laboured, even sort of 15 minutes after coming on. In fact, Chloe turned to me and said, "What's wrong with Tanto? He doesn't seem to be running particularly well."
He did get a bollocking off Dave, didn't he? Did you see that towards the end?
No.
And the ball went back to one of their players or back to the keeper, and Tanto didn't go and press him. And then he just sort of ambled over towards Challoner, and then you just seen Challoner pointing and swearing at him. So I think he definitely got a telling off towards the end of the match. But I think, yeah, it definitely made a difference. Even if he was laboured, it still gave them something to think about, didn't it?
And he did miss another, what you would think would be a relatively easy header. He's done this a couple of times now in the last couple of months, where he's had a free header, sort of six, seven, eight yards out.
He doesn't score the easy chances, does he? If it that was difficult, or a diving header, he would have scored. But the easy, he's like you say, he's done it a couple of times, and where it's on a plate for him, and he's missed it. He's you know, poor header. If that was a diving header, or you know, another 4 yards away from goal, so it had to be, you know, a real good header from a distance, he would have scored. But
and you've got to feel sorry for Wharton as well, because that's the exact sort of chance that he's running his bollocks off for, like for 59 minutes, for a cross of that quality from Torre, put it slap back on his head, and he's not on the pitch to benefit.
Did you think that we sort of we changed our tactics as if we was playing with Wharton once Wharton had gone off?
Yeah.
You know, do you understand?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We seem to be trying to play the nice balls and everything like that. And then Wharton goes off and we start sort of lumping the ball a bit more further forward and stuff, don't we?
Yeah. But so, same again, they just having that different threat. I thought Tanto, they were worried about Tanto getting behind Lewis and Johnson. For me, and they looked worried, and you know, that started to put a press on, started getting other players involved. I thought Lemonet Evans started to become a bit more influential in that second half. Obviously, Powell went off, he had a couple of sort of knocks and went down a few times injured, but like I say, 60 minutes is normally his time to come off anyway. But yeah, for me though, we talk about obviously the substitutes for County changing the game, but I actually thought the big momentum swing was when Wimbledon took off Gordon and Neuville, who was on that side as well. I thought.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They were their best two threats, attacking threats. And when they took them off on the 71st minute, I just didn't think they were that much of a threat. I think the momentum sort of like went more into our favour and we were sort of putting the press on, where I thought Gordon, like I say, he's on loan from Crystal Palace. I would not be upset if we signed him on loan next season in League One, because he's just a horrible player that's going to absolutely annoy other teams. But yeah, that, you know, I know, like I say, going about substitutions, I just thought their substitutions, Wimbledon's, I think really sort of did not improve them and made them worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it made any. I didn't really notice any difference, or as you say, anything that caused us any issues with their substitutions. So yeah, as we have said, Hippo came on for Noyle, and Hippo went to left wing back, and Torre came across to right wing back, and I think he looked better.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
At the right wing back. And I don't know if it's because we were just playing different balls to him. And I know he was obviously coming inside more once he was receiving that ball rather than trying to get down the line. So maybe it was just that had upset their equilibrium.
It completely flummoxed them. Flummoxed them because, yeah, you're right. He came in on his left foot, didn't he, to play balls, and completely different passing angles that you were getting there. And that's, well, yeah, that's what led to baby.
It was like right centre back, wasn't it? Because you still had Lemonet Evans as your wing back, and he came on as your right centre back with obviously Horsfall and Pye. And like you say, same again, he was taking in the free kicks from that side as well. So, same again, a different angle the balls were coming into, and that was offering a threat. Obviously, Bailey, lots of energy. Look, same again. I've always had Bailey because he goes looking for the ball and he's happy to receive the ball no matter where he is on the pitch. And he's very rarely, I think, he loses it or gives it away. I always think he's quite a tidy player. And it doesn't matter if he's got his back to the goal or if he's got two players on him. He always seems to me one that's happy to receive the ball in whatever situation and get it. And he just offers, I think it was just an energy, an urgency then came from the team. And now obviously that, I think, fed that what you can make from the stream, fed the Cheadle end and the crowd. And like I say, just felt that we were building to something.
Yeah, that was very noticeable, certainly in the ground, wasn't it? 75 minutes and the crowd really stepped up and got behind the guys, and you could see that. You could almost see the lift. And I know Challoner has mentioned it a few times that we make the difference, but on the other flip side is that we want to see something to make us cheer, to get us going. But I think that was really good. That I think as well with Mansfield game being called off, with the Wrexham not playing until tonight, we are now at this present moment in time on the same amount of games, and we are now 4 points clear. So I thought it was a really big win, and we've not even mentioned. Did we think on 75, 80 minutes? Did we think that it was going to be a 0-0, or did we think possibly they'd nick it rather than us nicking it?
I thought it had 0-0 written all over it. And you make a good point about the Cheadle end, because there wasn't a lot for us to really shout about. And yeah, we definitely felt this sort of swing in the crowd for no reason, really. I can't even put a finger on what made us start singing, but
yeah,
we
did. Sort of anything on the pitch, like a good tackle, a block on the line, or anything like that, that I noticed. It's just
was it we really... the news that Notts County were beating MK Dons? as well. Maybe. I don't know if that filtered through. I know that obviously JK mentioned it on the commentary and giving the updates on the scores on that. So I don't know if that might have filtered through.
Okay.
But like I said, there was just like a, we've seen it before actually, just a energy, desire, urgency, intensity. You know, they're the buzzwords that Chaloner has used since he's came in, intensity, front foot. And, we did sort of go back to them sort of like core values of what Chaloner's team's about. I thought stepped it up. I mean, same again, Crosdale came on as well. He was nice and busy. Just like I say, an urgency with them all.
And then, the ball comes back to Torrey. Another assist for Torrey through to Bailey. Couple of touches. And again, what a finish that was. I mean, as I say, I sit in upper tier three and you just seen the bend on it as it came up, and keeper was had no chance with that. And then the Cheadle end absolutely erupts, didn't it? It was just, we've said it, I think it was like the Newport game as well. You just felt that release of energy, of relief that we've got it. And I think that could be one of the big, most important wins of the season, because we were just grinding it out, wasn't we? They were quite happy just to come in, and we've said at the beginning, take a point, and they were 86 minutes away from, six minutes away from actually doing that, wasn't it? For me, the only, I didn't understand, it seems to change week in, week out, but I didn't think that there was 6 minutes of injury time. I know there was a few substitutions, but didn't think that equated to 6 minutes. I don't remember the physio being on that much in the second half. Or maybe there was a clash with Hinchliff, wasn't there, with one of their players when he went down. That's the only thing that I can remember. But let's go back. What a goal. Let's talk about that goal.
Yeah, and in fairness, I think there's probably two players that the whole of the ground were willing to score today. One is Bailey, because he's not lit us up like he did during his loan, has he? We can all sort of agree with that. So for him to score, and obviously the other one's Wootton. So for one of those to score the winner, I think the Cheadle then realised how important that was on a personal level for them. And you could see it the way the team celebrated with him. They were absolutely made up for him. It's lovely seeing that.
But I think that's probably something that Bailey's got in his locker, hasn't he? He's, by the sounds of it, it's something he does a lot in training.
According to Jude Bellingham. Did you not see the comments? Jude Bellingham, I can't remember what Bailey put. Bailey commented and basically said, what a scorcher. And Bellingham has come back and said, I've seen that hundreds of times in training. you have definitely got that in your locker, basically. So if you've got that coming from Jude Bellingham, it's pretty decent, isn't it? So,
but yeah, I think he has got that in his locker. I mean, obviously, we've seen him do it against Swindon from the other side.
Yeah.
But same again. And it's one of them ones. He does try it. And he tried it, if you remember, against Salford, but it ended up going out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
And I think he's in his interview. He said that the ball to him from Torre was perfect. He's managed the first touch to get it out of his feet was perfect. So as soon as he made the first touch, he knew that what he was going to do and crack it. And he's going to, like I said, if he tries that every game, some of them are going to go in the back of net. Some of them are going to go high and wide. I think what we've got to do as fans is not get on his back if he misses it, and sort of encourage him to do it again. Because especially, like say, that Salford game, that was, he did one of them at Salford, missed it, and he just sank in the game. I think he ended up coming off really early in the second half or at half time, but his confidence just zapped out of him. I think he's got that in his locker. We know that, and hopefully, keep on trying it. And if it doesn't come off, then hopefully he gets the confidence to try it again.
I think as fans, we do love a long-range shot. I mean, Camps tried one, didn't he? And it went like high, wide and handsome. And then Cheadle and were willing Crowsdale to take a long range shot, and I was like, "Don't take a shot, don't take a shot." And obviously, that didn't go anywhere near the goal either.
Yeah, I think Paddy really ripped into him though. That Crowsdale shot. Yeah. Paddy was not a happy chap when that went sort of screaming wide.
Yeah.
By any means, you could see he'd sort of turn around and right give him a volley of insults.
He probably said, "You've never scored one of them in training. Why are you trying to do it in a game?"
Well, I think it's the same. Look, it's the same. My missus is a Liverpool fan, and her biggest gripe is that every time that Gomez gets the ball, all the crowd shout "shoot" because he's never scored. He's never scored a single goal for them in 200 appearances or however many it is. And I feel that almost Crowsdale's the same, isn't he? I know he has scored a few goals for us, but he's that one player that everyone shoot, and he's like, "No, don't." anything else that we've missed with regards to the actual second half? Anything else that stands out that we've not mentioned?
We have sort of touched on Touré being man of the match, and I guess we'll come on to that. But I just
leads into it.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I mean,
Touré got man of the match at the game, didn't he, from the sponsors?
He did.
And also he got man of the match on FOTMOB with a rating of 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
The other close contenders from us, Ben got 7.7. Then Pi got 7.5. Lemonade Evans, 7.4. Horseball, Patton, Powell, 7.3. And then Madden, 7.1. Noyle, 7. And then Camps, Richards and Wotton, all below 7. Quite a bit below 7. Sars, 6.3. Alafi, 6.0. Crowsdale, 6.1, but he wasn't on for long. Hippo, 6.5. And Bailey, obviously, a 7.3. So do we agree, Torrey, was he your man of the match?
I think
I messaged our little WhatsApp group 5 minutes before they announced the man of the match and said, "Touré, man of the match." The guy is a completely different player. And Dan, I think you said over the last couple of weeks that if he continues this sort of form, he is League One quality. And I don't think I was really believing you when you first said it, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this run that he's gone on, fair play to him. Because he's dug himself out of a pretty big hole that he was in with us.
Yeah, definitely. I just thought first half, Touré, he was, like I say, receiving some horrible balls to him, to be honest, out on that wing, which, like I say, just to control him and keep him into play, sort of then give the opposition time then to close him down and not really do much with it. And then, like you say, switching him to a right centre-back. We all know that he struggled as left centre back, but to ask him to then go play right centre back, you know, what the thoughts going through his head must have been dreading it. But I assume it might be something they've worked on in training, because by the sounds of it, they knew that Niall wasn't going to last the 90 minutes. And it sounds like that Kane's got an injury, picked up an injury. So this must have been something they've talked about and worked on in training, for him to go on that right centre back. And like you say, he didn't look out of place. He looked confident. He was passing the ball forward, looking for the pass. And like I say, settled the goal. You know when certain players are not confident, like Touré, because he passes the ball safely all the time, sideways and backwards, short passes. So he's not losing the ball. But yeah, like I say, he looked really, really good. But the big surprise for me is, how has Ben got 7.7?
Yeah, that's a good point.
How is it? He did less than what he did in the Forest Green game. The penalty is not like he saved it. He was nowhere near the penalty. And that was their only shot on target, or off target, I think, in the whole game. So how Ben got 7.7, I ain't got a clue.
Used his Jedi mind tricks. That's what he did.
Yeah.
He moved the ball just before he was about to be hit for the penalty.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Agree with all that. Final one of the ref watch. What did we make? I don't know if I thought it was a him being a bad referee or him being a good referee for being very lenient and letting things go. But it just really frustrated me that there was all the argy-bargy and there was nothing, there was very, very little given, even though he did give them three yellow cards. I don't think he really wanted to give those yellow cards. I just think he let too much get away with it. Like we said, the push on Horsfall, which was for the throw-in, every time there was a player, they all, you know, a 50-50 tackle, they seemed to be leaving a foot in, didn't they? When we were getting set pieces, you just, every single time, there was at least one or two of our players that got hoiked to the floor. So for me, I think it was good to let things go, but I think he went too far with it. So I didn't think he was a very good referee performance.
It's a referee that is absolutely rattled and lacking confidence. Yeah, you know, if you saw his performance on Friday with the Mansfield and Wrexham game, was bad. I mean,
was he the referee for that? Was he?
Yes, right. They gave the penalty to Wrexham when the ball was 2 foot out of the area.
Right.
And he was the referee. Apparently, this referee is referee 2 Premier League games this season.
Has he?
So that's how far down the pecking order he's dropped.
Jeez. I actually thought he might have been one of the ones that had been promoted from the National League.
No,
I'll be honest.
For him, I just thought if you watch the highlights for the Friday Wrexham game and read the comments, you know, even the Wrexham commentary is saying when they've awarded him a penalty, Wrexham, they're saying the referee's lost the plot. And it just looked like a referee that, you know, the end of the season can't come soon enough.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird quirk, isn't it, that if you perform badly in the Premier League, you get bunged down to, like, Championship, League One, League Two. So we end up having the shite referee, don't we, instead? Fair enough.
So, with on that current table and the games played at the moment, worked it out that the most that Barrow can get is 85 points and the most that MK Dons can get are 83 points. Mm. And obviously that means there's a gap then. If County get, if they win all their games, Barrow and MK Dons, if County get 8 points, we're guaranteed promotion. And it's 6 points for MK Dons. If any of them drop any points, for example, if Barrow lose their next game, that means that County only need 5 points to guarantee to be above Barrow. And like you say, 6 points or 2 wins, because the goal difference is not going to be in question against MK Dons and Barrow. So technically 2 wins if Barrow lose will do us through. If either of them drop any points, then obviously even better for County. But yeah, we're getting to the nervy, nitty gritty time of the season.
It is, but you see the difference that a victory for us makes is that I was speaking with the guy that sits next to me before the game, and he'd sat down and worked this out and said before yesterday's game, we needed 13 points to be guaranteed automatic. That was the most points that Barrow could get or MK could get or anything like that. That would guarantee us third place. And with one win, we've now changed that by 5 points, which does go to show it's incredibly important for us to keep our winning run going.
I'm pretty sure the club are planning for League One now. They'll be putting the feeders out for players and all that sort of stuff, trying to get in early and stuff with agents, I'd have thought, because that there is no way that we don't get promotion from here. I really believe that. And I still think we're in the title. I think the players, the management will be disappointed if they don't. It's such an opportunity.
Yeah.
So what game are we saying that we get promotion? Not the title, but promotion. What game out the next lot do you think we'll clinch it on?
I don't know without looking at fixtures and stuff for the likes of Mansfield and Wrexham. I think we should leave that for the next club call, because as I said, we're over 40 minutes now, so we will come back to that. We will definitely come back to that one. But yeah, so that's it for this week, or for this one. We are, yes, away at Sutton on Saturday. Are either of you going?
I am there. They've just announced they've released more tickets for sale.
Yeah.
County fans. But yeah, me and the two boys will be there. We're going to drive down to Brentwood and then try and get some sort of train, whatever's running, you know, over across. There is rail strikes and overtime not being done, so there is a limited service, but
right,
hopefully we won't have issues and get over there, not a problem.
Cool. Are you watching the stream, Jimmy, or listening? Or
I'm going to be in the Lake District, so I'm hoping that I can sort of sneak off for a couple of hours to watch the stream.
Okay,
I'm trying to negotiate going to Colchester.
Oh, really?
I think that might be the game.
It might be the game. Okay,
be the game. So I'm trying to go there. I need to find out if there's any tickets actually at the club. I'm sure there will be. It's quite a way to go.
They are back up on sale on their website. They were, because I obviously did have original tickets, and then I had to sell them back because I couldn't get it off work. But now I can get it off work. So yeah, they are back up for sale on the website, or they were due yesterday for Colchester. Not many sold, obviously, for a Tuesday night, but like you say, that could be, hopefully fans will be the fear of missing out, and that will be a clincher.
Mm.
Excellent. Okay. Cheers, Dan. Cheers, Jimmy. I'll speak to you soon. Cheers, see everybody. Bye now.
Cheers, Waggy. Cheers, Dan.
The 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.